The movie Golda depicts the only woman ever to serve as Prime Minister of Israel. Her name was Golda Meir, a chain-smoking politician in her 70s. Helen Mirren plays the Prime Minister who receives a warning in 1973 about the Arab nations surrounding Israel.
Marwan says the attack will begin around sundown. Soviet diplomats and their families are leaving Egypt. If he's right, we have less than 12 hours to prepare.
It's a true story. Armies attacked from Egypt and Syria, and unlike its other wars, Israel was unready. The film's director, Guy Nativ, grew up in Israel in the aftermath.
I was born in 1973. My mom, you know, went to the shelter with me as a baby. My father went to the front. And I grew up on nothing. Nobody spoke about Golda or the war or what really happened there. It was kind of a secret.
Why would it have been so?
Because there were so many ups, and Golda took the blame. She was the scapegoat of this war.
The movie brings to mind Darkest Hour, the film about Winston Churchill in 1940 in World War II. You see a famous leader at the moment when everything is coming apart. As the enemy attacks, Meir visits army headquarters to listen to radio transmissions of Israeli troops in retreat or being killed. When Helen Mirren played Britain's Queen Elizabeth, she had every hair in place. As Golda Meir, strands of hair fly out and catch the light. She lives alone and climbs the stairs to a rooftop to consider her next moves while looking over Tel Aviv in the dark. Guy Nativ says two aides of the real-life Golda Meir are still alive.
These two people gave us all those little information, like that she was led into Hadassah Hospital at 2 a.m. to get those radiology treatments and smoke during them, and how many cigarettes she smoked a day. And she became really human, Golda.
If I may, I don't think I'm giving anything away to note that in the film, Golda Meir is brought in for cancer treatment and smokes all the way through the treatment. You're telling me that is a true detail so far as you know.
Everything that you see in this movie is true based on people that knew her. She smoked packets a day, drank 30 black coffee a day, and did not really eat. She was killing herself in a way that the country was killing itself.
I'm tempted to see that as a response to stress. Do you see it that way?
Oh, totally. And not only stress, you know, it's a country 30 years before there was a Holocaust. So just imagine these people, especially Golda, that went through so much horrific stuff in Ukraine as a kid.
Golda Meir was born in Ukraine. Her memoir says of her early years that she mainly knew poverty, cold, hunger, and fear. The fear came from mobs that sometimes walked through Kyiv threatening Jews. Her family moved to Wisconsin in the early 1900s, and then she emigrated to the new state of Israel, which emerged independent after a war.
There is a PTSD, giant PTSD, and just, you know, walking with a sense that you will be decimated. So, yeah, I think it's stress. I think the whole approach to refuse to talk to the enemy is also connected to the Holocaust. I think this is something that was there in their DNA.
We are fighting for our lives. If the Americans throw us to the dogs and the Arabs reach Tel Aviv, I will not be taken alive.
The Prime Minister appealed to the United States for weapons, negotiating with Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, played here by Liev Schreiber.
Madam Prime Minister, in terms of our work together, I think it's important that you remember that I am first an American. Second, I am Secretary of State. And third, I am a Jew.
You forget that in Israel, we read from right to left.
And though Israel survived, her war was remembered as a disaster.
I think that this movie comes in a very troubling time for Israel because it's a film about blindness and deafness of these leaders who couldn't see each other, couldn't see from 1 meter, couldn't see the front, couldn't see themselves, couldn't see what's going on. And that's exactly what's going on right now, 50 years later, with Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet and himself. They are blind.
He's referring to the current government's effort to weaken Israel's judiciary.
They are leading us to catastrophe. I went with the veterans of Yom Kippur to demonstrate in Tel Aviv streets. And, you know, on their shirts, those veterans, it said, "I fought the Yom Kippur War. This is Yom Kippur War of Democracy." For Israelis, this is a movie that brings horrible memories and kind of a full circle to a debacle again.
So one of the parallels that you see between then and now is that the leadership then was blind somewhat, or blinded themselves to the danger. You're saying that the current government, led by Benjamin Netanyahu, is blind to what danger exactly?
To a danger of many, many pilots and army people saying, listen, if you're going to diminish the judicial system, we are not fighting for you, because they say we are fighting for the kingdom, not the king. And that's the big difference between Golda and Benjamin Netanyahu. She thought about the people. She didn't think about herself. That's why she took the blame. She resigned. She left with a great shame because she cared about those soldiers. Benjamin Netanyahu cares about only one person, himself.
When you talk about events in Israel, it's common for almost any discussion to reach back into the past. Guy Nativ, the director of Golda, aims to illuminate some of that past as he thinks of the present. The film opens in the United States today.
You know, I was listening to this, Steve, and thinking, where do the Palestinians fit into this story?
I asked Guy Nativ that question. He acknowledges he could have said more. There is a brief clip of Palestinians driven from a village in the film. He also says Golda Meir could have done more for Palestinians, which just indicates how much the story in the Middle East changes depending on the perspective that you choose. In this case, he chooses the perspective of Israel's first and only, so far, female leader.